This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, everybody in the text line. Relax, I butchered it. I had the NBA play-in format all wrong. And then, thus, I screwed up what it would be in the NHL. And I heard Starkey struggle with exactly the same thing yesterday, Doran. Trying to do math on the fly, trying to look up the standings on the fly. And then he got frustrated, and he said he screwed the whole thing up. And I heard it, and I said, we're going to do a similar segment. Because I think it's valid that the NHL would adopt this NBA play-in tournament. I'm not going to let that happen to me, though. I'm not going to screw the facts up.
Of course.
I butchered it.
Of course.
Totally, absolutely butchered it.
You had me at the math.
That's where it all went wrong. That's where it always goes wrong, Callis. When there's math being done on the fly by me, I'm going to screw it up. Here's a text. How would you feel if the Penguins were in seventh place with, say, 94 points, and the Flyers were in 10th place with 82 points, but they were playing a one-game playoff? It greatly minimizes the regular season. Here's the dirty little secret, friends. People don't care about regular season hockey.
No.
They don't.
Not at all.
Not in the slightest. Just look at the ratings. They're going to tell the story. Now, I've heard Colin Cowherd say this before, and I subscribe to this. You're going to have 20,000 rabid hockey fans in every market, and they're the ones that are going to buy the tickets. And in some markets, that number is going to be higher. In Pittsburgh, it is. In Detroit, it is. Minnesota, it is. We know where the hockey hotbeds are. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, you've got small fan bases that are rabid and really care. But the league doesn't need to market to those people. The league doesn't need to reel those people in. The league's got those people.
Yes.
They need to get the other people. They need to find ways to get eyeballs on as many games as possible. Fairness be damned. And I'm a big hockey fan. You're a big hockey fan, Doran. You grew up playing hockey. We love the sport here. And if you love the sport the way that we do, my argument would be, I want to see other people fall in love with the thing. I want to see it grow, and it's for the betterment of the game. I don't care about fairness. So if they determined that it was going to be a play-in like the NBA and the Penguins had 94 points and they played a team with 82 points for most of the marbles, I would be okay with it. Just take care of your business.
If the NHL and people cared about the regular season, they would have Pens Caps in the middle of the season on ESPN or on TNT. Yet we had to go to ESPN Plus, and if you didn't have that, you had to subscribe to it. So nobody, like, this is to your point, nobody cares about the regular season. Give us something and put it on actual, you know, a station where we can all watch it and engage in it, and there's something for the stakes. There's stakes accompanied with it. That's where I think that this would work, and it would get different eyes, just like you're saying.
Major League Baseball figured it out.
Yeah.
The NBA figured it out. Oh, and by the way, you know what the NFL did? They added a playoff team in each conference. They took a bye away from the second-seeded team, and now it's super wild card weekend. Do we think the NFL's dumb? Do we think they don't know what they're doing? Do we think Adam Silver's dumb? I don't. Rob Manfred, I used to think, was dumb. He saved the sport with pitch clocks and making games go faster and limiting the shifts. I think that guy's got his head screwed on right. There's a lot of stuff you could disagree with Rob Manfred about. You can't disagree that he's made the sport eminently more watchable. So I happen to think smart people, smart executives in each of these sports leagues in North America, they can't be the wrong ones and the NHL's doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when would Gary Bettman ever be the guy accused of doing the right thing? And I get that the owners have to make the ultimate decision, and I understand that the Players Association's probably going to have something to say about it too, but all these other leagues are doing it, and
innovative.
The NHL's not. They're innovating,
right.
And I'm supposed to think that the NHL's the league that's got it right? Hell no, they ain't never got it right. Lemieux called it a garage league. How many times have you heard people say, best sport, worst league? Because it's never been run right. Never. They should do this. And if it wound up costing the Penguins, I'm okay with that, biting the bullet for the betterment of the Shield, for the betterment of the NHL. 412-928-9370. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can call us on the fan hotline, 412-928-9370, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh Trusted Plumbing and HVAC Service for over 50 years. Mark Caboli is going to join us at 9 o'clock to talk about where the Steelers are and what they're thinking a week before the NFL draft. But Dulac had his chat yesterday, Doran. And when Dulac speaks, sometimes he gets stuff wrong, but I feel like he's getting it from the top. And the way that they kind of view things, they were holding their cards close to the vest with Russell Wilson and with Justin Fields. Okay, I think Dulac's done a good job of having his finger on the pulse more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
He said there's only one position where they have to find a plug-and-play guy, and that's center. I just couldn't disagree with that more. I do think they need a plug-and-play guy. It worries me to read Dulac put that out there because now that's how I think they're viewing themselves. Like, we need a center. Oh, okay. You look at the depth chart here, man, and George Pickens is your number one wide receiver. Your number two and three are Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins. You can't walk out there on the first Sunday of the season with that. You're starting corners? You can't win with it. You got two corners right now. One of them's not good, the guy you got for Deontay Johnson. I just think if that's the way they're viewing things, they don't have a good enough understanding of their roster.
Well, I mean, if you kind of look at this lens, I feel like whenever you say plug and play, that means that a guy that you sign and has to be like an absolute hit. And to be an absolute hit, it's hard to sometimes find that in a draft. I mean, even they traded up for Broderick Jones last year, and he had to wait. So I can see where Dulac's coming from, where it's like, we need to get a veteran center to come in here and to be able to facilitate the offensive line. But everywhere else we could facilitate in the draft.
Well, I think he's saying that they need to draft a center in the first round, and it has to be a guy that plays right away, is the way I took that. Now, it kind of depends on who they view as that center that could step in right away.
I feel
away.
Like the first three picks that they pick have to play right away.
Yeah.
At this point.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm thinking that he's saying, like, okay, like, they're going to trade. If they need a position and it is center, like, they're better off trading for a center that has already played center, and you could kind of backfill every other position and not, I mean, tackle. Like, if you really look at it, like, do they really need to draft a tackle? No.
You and I have disagreed on that. I think they absolutely do.
But I think they do. No, I think they do.
But they don't view it that way.
No, they don't need to. They have a starter.
They don't view it that way. They think that Dan Moore Jr. is a good enough left tackle.
Yes, they don't need to waste a pick in their mind on the 20th pick on a first round tackle. They don't think that.
They think
they can get by.
They think they need.
Yes.
If they're going to take an offensive lineman, their view is we need a center to plug and play because right now it's Herbig. We don't need a left tackle to plug and play because we've got Dan Moore Jr.
We don't need a number one wide receiver. We maybe need a two or a three. That's not a plug and play type guy.
Which is nuts to me that further down Dulac's chat, he's talking about how hard they've pushed to get Brandon Ayuk. Well, okay. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth, or he's typing with two different hands here. They feel like they only have one glaring hole at center, but they've been trying really hard to get Brandon Ayuk. That tells me that they feel like they've got a need at wide receiver, too. And that's how I view things. I think they have maybe even five really big question marks on this team. Doesn't mean it hasn't been a good offseason. You got the quarterbacks. You got Patrick Queen. Blah. But I look at left tackle. He ain't good enough. I look at center. Who's the he? Herbig? He ain't good enough. He's not a starting caliber NFL center you're going to throw out there for 17 games. I look at cornerback, and Joey Porter Jr., I think, is going to be a superstar. But Dante Jackson's your two, and then a guy who got hurt last year that was a seventh-round pick might be your three. You don't have a you have zero depth there.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three massive holes for me. Plus wide receiver is four. And you start looking at defensive line, and it's Larry Ogunjobi, Keanu Benton, Cam Hayward, and your primary backups are Isaiah Loudermilk, Montrevious Adams, and DeMarvin Leal. Hey, I don't know about you, man, but I don't look at Larry Ogunjobi as a sure thing at all, whether he stays healthy or otherwise. I don't believe he's going to stay healthy for 17 games. And if he does, he hasn't done anything here. Keanu Benton, bullish. Yes. Bullish on that guy. But Cam Hayward, when he's healthy, he's good. He wasn't healthy last year, and when he came back, he wasn't the same player because, let's face it, he wasn't going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But two out of your three starting defensive linemen are old guys that you can't count on. That's a fifth hole for me. So I just don't subscribe to the notion, if this is the way the Steelers view it, the only position we need a guy to come in and plug and play is center. No, I think they got probably four teetering on five with the defensive line. And that's a terrible place to be going into the draft. For all the good things Omar Khan has done, they have left themselves way too many holes. I will change my tune big time if they trade for a wide receiver. Because if you do, that hole's gone. Forget about it. You take a later round wide receiver. But now you've got a first-round pick you could use on a right tackle, move Broderick over to left. Second-round pick, maybe trade up and get your center of the future. And then you'll see what happens at defensive line and at corner, but at least you'd have then solidified three holes. If they make no trade, there's no way they're going to fix all the holes and mask over everything. It's just not going to happen.
I really think they messed up with the Deontay Johnson trade, and it's not for the reason why people think right now in saying that they don't have any receiver help. I really think they could have got something done for L'Jarius Sneed. I think that if they would have not made it as personal and said, you know, bleep you, Deontay, we're going to send you to Carolina.
Great point.
And the Kansas City Chiefs wanted him. They wanted Deontay Johnson. They were willing to make a deal. You could have made a deal for Deontay Johnson, L'Jarius Sneed, sign and trade, and that's what the Titans did.
You know what, man?
Like that could have really solidified your cornerback position, and you won't have to worry about Dante Jackson playing on the outside, and he wouldn't even be here.
That's well said by you, because I thought you were going to say, man, I wish they didn't trade Deontay Johnson.
No.
I think we all agree, you're not going to win with a guy like that. You're not. He gave up on plays last. We don't need to relitigate it. We all know why Deontay Johnson wasn't working out here, and you might have another one in George Pickens. You don't need a bunch of those guys. They viewed it, at least they said so much, as player in, player out, and you fixed a position and need a corner. Dante Jackson's not good enough. L'Jarius Sneed is, and by grinding an axe there, by sending him to the Island of Misfit Toys down in Carolina, they got a worse player than they potentially could have gotten in Kansas City. They didn't want to give Deontay Johnson to the Chiefs.
But you take arguably the Chiefs' second best player on their defense, so it's kind of an even trade.
Right. It becomes, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. They cut off their nose to spite their face there, and they thought they masked over a hole at corner, and they didn't. It continues to be one, and then they open one up at wide receiver. 412-928-9370. You can weigh in on that conversation. Here's one. Crowley overreacting. It's April, for God's sake. You're going into the draft, and you've got five holes. I'm not saying they're not going to – I think they're going to win nine or more games next year just by virtue of the quarterback position being better. But if you're looking at this and you're thinking, oh, no, it's all good, they have one or two holes, I just don't know what you are looking at. Another text. Crowley thinks they need a Pro Bowler at every position. No, I don't. I just think you need better than Dante Jackson. And you need better than Quez Watkins and Van Jefferson. If those are your 4 and 5 or 3 and 4, you're fine. They're not right now. That's the point. Up next, another Steelers insider made a noteworthy comment on how the Steelers view the center position. We'll get into it.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
PJ Komandchik just popped in here. You probably heard his name a bunch on the radio before. He's got a lot to do with the Pirates. Now he's the brand manager over at KDKA AM. He said, boys, because we waved him down. I'm like, hey, PJ, how's it going? Just waved through the window. He comes in here bad out of hell. Like, he's got something hot off the presses he's got to tell us. Like, breaking news, some office scuttlebutt. He's all jacked up. Wound up, he just told us that he discovered a new food venture.
Yes.
He had a mug. He was going to microwave some steel-cut oats, instant steel-cut oats. And he said, and you guys will never believe this.
Never believe it.
You'll never believe this. It tastes really good with grape nuts.
And he said, you know, I was helping Dave move, and Dave is the former program director of KDA, and he just retired. He's like, I was helping Dave move, and you know, he had a box of grape nuts, and he said I could have them, and I was like, okay. Like, and then I put them in the oatmeal, and it's fantastic. He's like, and they were open, too. How about that?
PJ is 58 years old. He aged himself a decade and a half with those comments.
Have you ever had grape nuts?
I have tried grape nuts. They're good. No human being, and you can correct us if we're wrong in the text line at 412-928-9370, no human being under the age of 50 regularly eats grape nuts.
No.
They just don't. It was the oldest conversation we've ever had with PJ.
For sure. I think we
got
older.
I got my mug. Yeah, I'm older now, too.
Yeah.
Maybe some maturity will come along with that. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Okay. So we talked about what Dulac wrote in his chat in that first segment there about how the Steelers might view themselves in their holes. And I think we think they've got more holes on this roster than they probably think. Well, Dulac would go on to say that the Steelers are going to draft a center if they get one that they think is capable of playing right away. I think that rules at least one guy out and maybe two, Doran. So Graham Barton's a guy from Duke that people are enamored with. The Steelers had him in for a visit. And Dulac says the Steelers do see Barton as a center. Okay. He only played center his freshman year of college.
Yeah, nah.
So they might view him as a center. He might be a wonderful center. He's not going to play day one. You're not going to do the Kendrick Green thing again.
Are you really going to put yourself in that situation?
It's the exact same situation. Mm-hmm. Now, He says he would do it, and he could do it because he did do it, and Kendrick Green did not want to play center. So there's the difference there. Green barely played center at Illinois, though he did get some burn there, and Barton hasn't done it since freshman year. You're going to find that sometimes because you're going to take your best offensive lineman at a place like Duke, and you're going to put him at tackle. But if they feel like they need a guy to step in right away, and I would agree with that assessment, they do need a center to step in right away. To me, it can't be Graham Barton. There's so much coaching then that would need to go into that. It's not like he hasn't done it before, but it's been so long, and you're going to put that on Pat Meyer? Make the tackle who was a center again?
You're going to put that on Russell Wilson, really.
Great point.
Or Justin Fields. I mean, whatever way the quarterback situation shakes out, which we obviously know and think it's going to be Russell Wilson, but that just puts more on his plate.
Mm-hmm.
He has to worry about more. I mean, that's why you want... That's why you can get away with a Russell Wilson and a center that is a young player. But you're in a rough situation whenever you have a quarterback that is a veteran quarterback, knows the game, knows the ins and outs, has to learn a new offense, but also has to carry a center. Like, you want to make it as easy as possible for Russell Wilson. He can get away with a young center that knows how to play center, but if you're trying to experiment while you – got Russell Wilson back there while you're trying to win football games and put up points, that's just something that I wouldn't want to get myself into.
I mean, I think it's better than if it were Kenny or Justin Fields.
Well, for sure, but you need to win.
Well, and then think about the other stuff, too. We were just talking about this into John. So you want to bring on Graham Barton, if you're Russell Wilson and then you're going to throw the ball to Quez Watkins and Van Jefferson? Hey, one of the reasons why you bring in Russell Wilson at $1.2 million is because you can then augment the roster and upgrade the roster around him. And so he'll have a guy that hasn't played center since his freshman year snapping him the ball, and he's going to throw it to a bunch of jabronis out there? Come on. Help the guy out.
I mean, his center last year, he just got paid.
Mm-hmm.
Forget his name, but he just, you know, he went somewhere, got paid. That's a guy that I thought the Steelers were going to be interested in.
I did too. And I think they really screwed up by ever letting Mitch Morse out the building.
Absolutely.
Because then, if you have Mitch Morse...
Don't have to draft center.
You don't have to draft one, or if you do, you have the luxury of playing the guy behind him.
Like Barton.
Right. You could... We love Barton. Yep. We think he can be a great center in the league for 10 years, but he hadn't played it since his freshman year. You give him time to grow. Now you can't do that. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, draft analyst there, he did one of his conference calls yesterday. So a bunch of media members get on, ask him questions, yada, yada, yada. And he said that one team has Troy Fatanu, whose name I'm sure I'll say 100 different ways, as the best center in the draft. He played tackle in college. He lacks the ideal height for the position. Now, the player says he's a tackle and thinks it's lazy analysis if people say he should be kicked inside. He's 6'3", so he's not a super tall guy. He's got long arms. People think he could play inside. I don't know which team in the NFL views him as the best center in the draft, even though he played tackle. I hope it's not the Steelers. Because all the concerns about Barton are then tenfold for a guy who doesn't even want to play the position. So I'm personally, if they're taking a center 20th, I'm ruling both of those guys out. And you have to look at mocks and whether or not they'd be there to begin with, but I'm ruling both those guys out. And I'm thinking it's going to be Frazier from West Virginia. Everything you're reading about JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson, kind of falling down draft boards, I feel like if they take one at 20, if they choose to go center over one of the good 8 tackles that could be there, I think it'll be Zach Frazier.
I'm just saying this. I mean, you could take it for what you want. And Russell Wilson's here for a year, so it may not be a factor. But I'm not drafting a center that's over 6'2", because Russell Wilson's 5'11". I mean, it's funny, but
no,
like,
I get it.
You draft Marquise Pouncey, who's 6'4", 6'5", because Ben's 6'5".
I don't think you make a determination on who you pick based on Wilson.
No, it's not exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I do get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
that was an issue for Vic when he was here.
Yeah, it's an issue for a lot of quarterbacks.
He couldn't see Baker Mayfield. That's been a problem for. It wasn't an issue for Drew Brees because his neck was so damn long, and he's not a tall guy. I see what you're saying. I would take. He's a project, and that scares me with Pat Meyer. I'm tantalized by the upside of Mims. You put him at right, you move Broderick Jones
for sure
to left,
yeah,
and then hopefully Zach Frazier falls somewhere into the 40 range. You slide up and you take him or JPJ. Coming up next, we spend a lot of our time here talking about the local sports, but there's a massive national story out there. An NBA player has been banned for life due to a gambling scandal. The leagues are all in bed with sports betting companies. Many have drawn a line here. Fair or not, we'll get into that next. No music here because Nicholas Arikalas had to run to the bathroom. I thought we were past that.
So did I.
I'm not going to kill him. It's fine. I had an emergency bathroom break right before the show. It happens to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We do move on. Got a text here before we get into the big-time gambling scandal in the NBA. So, Crowley, what do you want to pick first, a center or a tackle? What about wide receiver you keep talking about? What about cornerback? Make up your mind. No, dude, you hit on it. That's the rub here, is if I want a center in round one and a tackle in round two, or a tackle in round one and a center in round two, or a corner in round one and an offensive lineman in round three, they have a bunch of needs. That's the point. My preference, take a tackle at 20, find a way to trade up and get either Frazier or JPJ in round two if they're there. That would be my preference for the top two picks of this draft. But if you fix those two holes, your offensive line you're feeling better about, then you still need corner, then you still need defensive line, and you still need a wide receiver. That's the whole point, is that there's a bunch that they still need because of the way that this offseason went, where no matter what they do, if they don't make a trade before the draft or during the draft, they're not going to be able to fill all of those holes.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that makes sense.
It does. Got a lot of holes. Got a lot of stuff to do. A
lot of stuff to do. And I'm still holding out hope that they'll get something done for a guy like Brandon Ayuk before the draft, but time will tell. We'll talk to Mark Caboli about that coming up in 23 minutes at 9 o'clock. But this Jonte Porter scandal is a doozy in the NBA. So much so that we got to talk NBA here in Pittsburgh. And it's not really about the NBA. It's about the gambling. The league found that Jonte Porter, who is a Toronto Raptor, shared injury information with somebody he knew to be an NBA bettor. That's not good. But wait, there's more. The league also found that Porter pulled himself out of a game after 3 minutes claiming illness in order to make sure a prop bet on his stats, an underbet, paid out. And then, the league found out that Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using another person's online betting account. He won $22,000 on those bets. Three of his wagers were multi-game parlays in which Porter bet on the Raptors to lose. Not to win, to lose. Jonte Porter didn't play in any of those games, but even still, he's got information, and he bet on his team to lose. Look, at first blush, without any of the details, you go, oh, lifetime ban, that seems way harsh. No, they got it right here.
Yes.
But here's what I don't like that's happening out there. Well, this is all because the NBA's in bed with DraftKings and FanDuel and all these big-time sports betting apps. I don't think that's why it happened. I think that's why he got caught. Like, this kind of stuff has happened before. This isn't the first time we've had a gambling scandal in professional sports. You had the Black Sox scandal all the way back in 1919. The mob was involved. Shoeless Jackson can't get in the Hall of Fame. The mob was involved. Need you say more? Tim Donaghy, a referee in the NBA, was betting on games, and he admitted this, from 2003 until 2007, games that he was officiating.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Rose bet on a game and games that he managed. This, to me, is an illegalized sports betting problem. It's just the next one, at least in my opinion.
It still is not a good look.
Oh, it's a bad look.
I mean, it's still not a good look with the partnership. Well, not partnerships, but in bed with these betting. And you, it's just so accessible now. I think it's easier to bet. It's easier to... I just don't know how they caught him whenever he was giving information to a friend that put a bet in. Like, wouldn't the friend get caught?
Because the bet was so big, it raised red flags. Okay. So here's what they wrote in kind of the press release. They were brought to the NBA's attention, those bets, by licensed sports betting operators in an organization that monitors legal betting markets. So no one's ever going to be out there typically throwing $80,000 around on a guy like Jonte Porter, who I didn't know he existed until all this came down. I think most casual NBA fans would say the same thing.
Yeah, like, I know his brother.
Yeah. Porter, right?
Michael Porter Jr. Porter, yeah. His brother, Porter.
Same surname. Yeah. You're an NBA guy.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know about this guy.
No clue.
Yeah. So, and what he did was he spaced these things out months apart. But because it's legal, I think is why he got caught. Because there's now more oversight than there's ever been before.
Tracking things. Yes.
Yes. And from what I understood, when we talked about this way back, when we were one of the first shows that actually talked about this thing, is my understanding is that there are reports that have to be given to the leagues so that you can sniff around and find when something like this is going on. You're right. It is more accessible now than it's ever been before, and it's all, for the most part, above board and over the table. All of these things can now be tracked, and all of these things can now be vetted. So I can never say outright that it wouldn't have happened before, because you're right, it is more accessible and thus more people are gambling, blah, 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 blah. What I'm saying is I don't think that all the people who are saying, see, this is why you don't get into bed with these companies, I don't know that that's the why. I know that it's the why he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
But look, there are things that can't happen. This is why the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, they all fought against this stuff actually happening, legalized sports betting in some cases, because They're afraid about the integrity of their sports getting called into question. You could have point shaving.
Yes.
With over-unders and player props. You could have outright throwing of games. And then you could have basically the insider trading element. What happened here is you got one, two, three, all three of them at once. All three of them at once. So the lifetime ban, for me, is absolutely warranted. The question for you, the people out there, before we get into the draft talk again at 9 o'clock, 412-928-9370, do you think that this is because of legalized sports gambling? I'd love people's opinion on this at 412-928-9370.
I just don't understand why the focus is so much on players doing it, not like admins and equipment managers and training staff. I mean, they have the insider information. Like, if you're an equipment manager in the NFL, you see, you hear, you know absolutely everything.
You know, Joey Bart's not playing yesterday before the general public's knowing that information.
And I'm not talking down, but they are more normal of people than the professional athletes, and they have probably more normal fans or more friends than the professional athletes do. I don't know why the focus isn't on admins upstairs knowing insider information and telling their, you know, cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that's where the focus is. I think that the focus needs to be divvied out a little bit more, because I'm sure that it goes on in a building.
Oh, I guarantee you that it does. I think the NFL's kind of got it right when they say, don't do it in our facility.
And they geofence it.
They geofence it. They want plausible deniability. Anybody who gets caught in the NFL is a doofus, frankly, for getting caught. Because you know where you can do it, you know where you can't do it. I heard somebody call into Amy Lawrence's show before ours, and they had a long discussion, her and the producer and the update guy, about whether you should just ban all players from being able to gamble in professional sports. See, to me, that is a bridge too far. That's a bridge way too far. What you're going to have happen then is good players aren't going to be playing in the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL, or the NHL. Because if you say none of y'all can bet, guys are still going to try to bet. I'm fine with the parameters being, hey, DoFi. That's the plural of doofuses, Doran.
Don't bet on your own sport.
Don't bet on your own sports.
Yeah.
Don't bet on your games. Jonte Porter, my man, your career is ruined.
Everything.
For $22,000. What are you doing? And so my advice, and you could speak to this a lot more than I could, Doran. My advice would be to any young player in college, in high school, don't get started.
No.
Like, don't get started. Be very careful. We saw what happened in Iowa. With the Iowa State players, be careful. Because now with Jonte Porter, they're going to be coming for everybody.
The eyes are, whew.
Mm-hmm. I've also seen people say if Jonte Porter were a star, he would not have been banned forever. He sure as bleep would have. I really believe, if it were LeBron, he'd have been, I think you ban him forever. You can't have the integrity of your sport come under question. Imagine if it was LeBron.
Well, what's going on with Shohei?
I actually believe Shohei now. Enough has come out that I think he was not smart in who he trusted, but I think it was all his guy. And that was stuff that was happening under the table. That was illegal sports betting, too.
Right.
Do you blame, you the listener, at 412-928-9370, legal sports betting for this? Or do you think it's something that always would have happened? 412-928-9370. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Steelers insider Mark Caballi going to join us at 9 o'clock to get back into the NFL draft. But right now we're talking about Jonte Porter, banned for life from the NBA for his part in really three separate gambling scandals. And I said in the last segment, Doran, that I think even if it had been LeBron, he'd have been banned for life. And we had a texter who said, guys like LeBron don't need to make $22,000 gambling. I do think that's a good point, but I would also say never underestimate addiction. And guys who have it all,
Michael Jordan,
they could lose it, man, because they can't help themselves. And Michael Jordan is a great example of that. Pete Rose had it all. Pete Rose was the guy, man. And someone else texted in and said, do you think Pete Rose should get into the Hall of Fame? No, I don't. No, he broke the rules at the time. He knew what the rules were. It was stapled. It was plastered everywhere in Major League Baseball. Do not gamble. Signs in every clubhouse. And he did it anyway. You make your bed, you got to live with it. You got to live in it. Sleep in it. Whatever the saying is, you got to have accountability. But the question is, how much of the legalized sports betting, how much of these leagues now being in bed with these gambling companies, how much of that do you think affects this? How much of that do you think is the cause of this? Tony in Westwood wants to chime in. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Hey, question. Earlier you mentioned that you thought that some of the regulations and the fact that it's legalized is what caused them to report it. But I'm under the impression, and this is my theory, that the reason why it was reported is because people lost a lot of money. And that's what brought the red flag.
People won a lot of money on the underbet when he pulled himself out of the game. He only played 3 minutes and all his underbets cashed. That's one of the red flags. There were a couple of red flags, Tony, that I think if it's just illegal sports betting, that you're probably not having the same level of oversight as there is right now.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have underground gambling where these things would have happened, and I don't know if it ever comes to the light of
probably
day.
Probably not.
My whole argument is Black Sox scandal, Pete Rose, Tim Donaghy, these things have always happened. I don't know if it's going to be more frequent now. I don't. I know more guys are getting caught right now because there are guardrails put up like the NFL and Calvin Ridley. I happen to think he got caught because there's so many eyes on this now. But I'm not. I think he might have done it before. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, just, you know, just don't gamble on your sport. It should not be hard. It shouldn't be hard.
I said that you never underestimate addiction. And I know personally how long it took me to quit cigarettes. Addiction sucks. You start something you don't want to start, and you can't get off it. I get it. I do. But if you are a gambling addict, if let's say Jontay Porter was a gambling addict, you can get your nuts off betting on other stuff, man.
Well, think about this, though. If this is a serious issue, and, you know, we take addiction very serious. This is not anything to, you know, just scoff at. But if this is an addiction and now he's banned from the NBA, I mean, he's not going to be able to do anything. You know, I mean, what job can he get, really? But his brother is Michael Porter Jr. What if he starts betting on his brother?
Man.
If Michael Porter Jr. is just in as much hot water as he is, The eyes on Michael Porter Jr. now?
If I'm Michael,
I mean, think about it.
You're right, man. I'm his brother, I am furious. Furious with Jontay Porter.
I mean,
right
Jontay Porter, why can't he just go to a sports book and bet on his brother, not knowing that it's a brother? He talks to his brother probably every day.
And his brother might have
absolutely nothing to do with
no knowledge of it and gets yanked into the whole thing because It's the whatever degrees of separation of Kevin Bacon. Like, you just get sucked into it. It's not even your fault. Yeah,
I bet you the eyes on Michael Porter Jr. now and forever,
with
as he's an NBA player, especially heading into the playoffs, they're going to be playing the Lakers. Oh, Michael Porter Jr., every single thing that he does will be monitored.
Do you think if it were Steph Curry that he would have the lifetime ban?
No.
Man.
They'd figure out ways around it. There'd be a scapegoat. There'd be a scapegoat for the big-time players for sure.
You would have to do a cover-up. Like, because if he got caught doing this, there is no way you couldn't have given Steph Curry a lifetime. And I'm just picking his name out of the hat. I don't want to implicate him in anything. If you were the NBA and you had all this come out about Steph, or you found out before the press found out about it, you got to bury it then. Because the second it comes out and it sees the light of day, you, for the integrity of your sport, you need to ban the guy.
But, like, my thing is,
for
like,
betting on his own games.
I know we're going long here, but, like, I just don't know how you monitor the situation. This is why it's so catchy or so, you know, hard right now. Is like, okay, say Steph Curry's wife wants to gamble. Is she not allowed to gamble on Steph Curry? And he's at home icing his ankle?
Man.
Like, so, like, honestly, like, is she not allowed to gamble?
I'm your friend.
Right.
And you've been lighting it up for Pitt. And you've told me you're not going to play.
Yes.
But not for gambling advice, just because you're
and
a
you
swell
go gamble.
Guy and I go gamble. Yeah, I don't even know how you protect yourself from this. The only way you could is if you banned players from gambling. And even then, you're talking about friends and
it's
stuff.
It's just other people, like bystanders.
Yeah.
How do you monitor that? That's why this is so heightened now. You're sitting at home. Aisha Curry is like looking at Steph. He's icing his ankle in a bucket, and she knows he's not going to play because that's my husband. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to put the under.
Mm-hmm.
How can you monitor that? How can you say that Steph Curry isn't, like, I just don't know.
I don't know either. Sometimes you hit the end of a radio segment, you don't have answers.
Don't.
I think that's probably what these leagues are thinking about right now. Like, we kind of got a massive problem on our hands here. Because once you start the insider trading element of it, which is one of the two things he did wrong here, you are really, really asking for this to be a problem that's more widespread. All right, well, we've mentioned the problem. We have not fixed it, but that's not our jobs. Coming up next, we talk to Mark Cabali from The Athletic. He's our Steelers insider. He says the Steelers are likely to trade up in the first round of the NFL draft. Why would they do that? We'll talk to him about it next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet. SunChevy.com. Today, high 72, partly cloudy.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.